going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The 3-1, and it's a broken bat roller to short. Lindor is up with it, throws to first. Ball game's over, and the Mets win the series as they've taken the first two. 5-1, the Mets beat the Phils tonight in the middle game of the series.
Not a great night for the Phillies last night. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the WIP Midday Show. No, that is not the voice of Joe Giglio. We have a perhaps equally annoying voice in today. I am your host, Elliot Shore Parks, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. Not a great night for the Phillies last night. Excited to get into all that with you guys today. We'll talk Phillies, we'll talk Eagles, but we got to lead with what happened last night. Hugh, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, if you're going to steal somebody's car, man, at least have a plan.
You don't think this guy had a plan?
I don't think Buddy had a plan, man.
Nah.
I mean, you joyriding, going to the bodega, you know, doing all kinds of nefarious things in somebody else's ride like it's yours. I mean, have a plan.
Yeah, I think especially if you're stealing A.J. Brown's car.
Yeah.
If you're going to steal a random car, maybe you got a little more time to figure it out. But when you're stealing A.J. Brown's car, it feels like
and
you got to get
Dom's
things
on
going.
The case. Big Dom was on the case. Got it done.
Yeah, is
got
there a scary person to have chase you when you're stealing a car than
I mean,
Big Dom?
I tell you what. I will say this. It's good to have a friend like Dom.
Yes.
You know, it's good to have somebody that is as plugged into a major city like this on your side that knows how to get things done rather expeditiously.
Has some good connections,
yeah,
I would say.
He's connected, he's affiliated, whatever. Yeah. It's good to have that.
Well, look, it's good to be with you today. I'm excited to work with you, man. We have not worked together, just me and you, so
no.
I'm excited to do
We've
that.
We've drank together, though.
We have drank together.
Adult beverages.
Well, look, depending how this first segment goes, maybe we'll have a few shots in between. But look, I think today, you talk about having a plan. Feels like the Phillies might need a better plan than what's going on right now. Last night, I mean, you just want to talk about frustrating, and I'm happy to be in today, 215-592-9494, because today to me is such a classic WIP day.
Mm-hmm.
You watched that game last night. It was the most frustrating, like, 3 hours of baseball, because they really weren't behind much. Like, they had a chance in that game up until the seventh inning. It's 2-1. Obviously, Kirkring comes in, lets up the big hits. The game explodes. All of a sudden, it's 5-1, and, you know, at that point, I think the alarm bells are going off. So that game last night, obviously now they're 2-8 in their last 10 games against the Mets. Hugh, where are you at right now with your frustration level with this team? Who are you most frustrated with?
You know what's funny, Elliot? Before I get to that, I just want to tell you, you said something this morning when we were in the meeting.
Yeah.
That I didn't think about, and I thought about it a lot after you said it. You talked about the team and how they look lifeless.
Yep.
You know, you talk about that game last night, man, and I'm watching, and I'm looking for Christopher Sanchez, and he's not out there. You know, because I went to a local watering hole, went to go see some people play Quizzo, and you're right. That game was not out of hand. And, you know, Joe Ross was on the mound, and he was doing his thing. Didn't look bad, and it was 2-1 for the longest. And you said something that, at the moment, I didn't think about it, but it got me thinking now. And you said that they didn't look like they had any fight in them or something to that effect. They looked lifeless. I put that on the players.
Mm.
You know, you go into this season and you don't change much, but you know that this organization believes in you. You know, there was rumors about trading Bohm, who had a pretty good defensive night last night, you know, made some big plays. You go into this season, they don't change a whole lot. And I remember Bohm echoed the sentiments that he was real grateful that, you know, he could be here.
Yeah.
And get a chance to redeem himself. I'm just using him as an example because I remember that conversation. But the other guys, you knew going into this season that this organization didn't change a whole lot. They didn't move a whole lot of people. They kind of ran it back. And this is what you do. Like you said last night, that game was not out of hand until the seventh inning.
Mm.
And you played like you were timid. Somebody said to me the other day that I think the Mets have the Phillies number. Before that game, I didn't believe it. I kind of believe it now. I kind of believe that now.
Well, I think the Phillies might believe it too, which is one of the more frustrating things. But you mentioned Christopher Sanchez. I think too, adding to the level of panic last night was not only are the bats quiet again, but Sanchez has to leave the game. I believe it was after the third inning. Afterwards, he says that he has stiffness in his forearm, which all the baseball experts are telling me that is not what you want to hear, especially when it comes to a pitcher. But Topper did talk about it after the game. Here's what Topper had to say about Sanchez.
Left forearm tightness. Saw the doc. Not expecting any structural damage. We'll reevaluate. We'll know in the next couple days.
When did you first start complaining of it?
The first I heard of it was after the second inning. I went down and I talked to him and said, how you doing? And he said, usually he goes, oh, I'm good. Or I said, are you all right? And usually he says, yeah, I'm good. And this time he just nodded. I said, tell me what's going on. And he said, I'm just, my arm's a little bit tight. I said, okay, that's it. We're done.
Will he go for an MRI tomorrow?
We'll know more tomorrow.
Yeah, so not encouraging there, especially when you hear about what Sanchez said to Topper. But the good news is it does seem like the initial reporting about his injury is that it seems promising. Sanchez talked after the game and said he felt okay, and then I think we'll know more tomorrow, obviously. But that's concerning with the forearm tightness. Despite the good news, that's still a thing that's up in the air. But I think for me last night, watching this game, look, I have a thing where I see everything through the eyes of the Eagles. It's a team I cover the most. It's a team I feel like teaches me a lot in terms of, you know, team dynamics and all that. And when I'm watching this game last night, I felt like it was the moment in the Eagles season where they were 2-2. Remember last year, we all know how the season ended. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. They're one of the best teams we've ever seen. They finished 16-1. But there was a point last year where all that was up in the air. They lose that game to the Bucks. Everyone wants Nick fired. Everyone's thinking this thing's going to explode. Jalen's not good enough. He's turning the ball over left and right. And at that moment, it really was a point where you had to decide, do you believe in the team or do you not believe in the team? And at that moment, some people jump ship for sure, right? But when I look at this Phillies team, what's frustrating to me is I don't think they have the leadership or the players to turn this around. If you look at, I think they have talent, don't get me wrong, but the Eagles have leaders. The Eagles have people that when the going got rough last season, they turned it around. Saquon was big in that. AJ was big in that. Mm-hmm. Brandon Graham was big in that, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But ultimately, when you said, you know, you talk about lifeless, right? That team last night, it was 2-1. It was not a game that was out of control. But time and time again with this Phillies team, not just this season, but overall, when the going gets tough, we don't see them respond. They're up in the World Series. They blow that. They get no hit. They lose game 6 and 7 at home to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Last year against the Mets, they're almost a complete no-show in that playoff series. And now, things are getting tough. You have the Mets again. You've lost the first two to them. Today at 1:00 is a massive game, in my opinion. But what I'm looking for today is, are they going to show any fight? And so when you ask me, like, who am I most frustrated with? For me, it's the players. I hear so much blame on Topper. I hear so much blame on Dombrowski. They have one of the highest payrolls in baseball, and they have a group of guys that I've seen do it. I've seen them go to the World Series. I've seen them win playoff series. Yes, they ultimately have not gotten the job done, and they do come up small in big spots, but they have won big games. And so when I'm watching this team last night, I'm looking at them. It's like, Bryce, it's 2-1. Castellanos, it's 2-1. Why are you swinging on that pitch? My concern is with this team, do they have it in them? Are they tough enough to rebound from this? Because I know with the Eagles last year, there was a moment where they had to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the Phillies, that's their moment. Like today, the beginning of today, 1:00, when they start, this is their moment to show if they're resilient or not. And that's my main frustration is I remember when these guys, I remember being at a playoff game at Citizens Bank Park, and the game starts, and they run out. The lights are going crazy, fans are going crazy, and I was looking at these players like, these guys are rock stars, and I had the utmost faith in them. But now, they don't look anything, they look like a shell of that team. So my frustration, and again, want to know where everyone else is at, 215-592-9494. My frustration is that these players, I don't sense the leadership or like the winning qualities that I used to see in them. Look at that.
No, I got distracted a little bit.
Going on. Can you not?
No.
We have a show to do.
No, I got distracted a little bit. I'm with you, Elliot. I think about this. When Bryce Harper got here, and I'm not just picking on him, but he's the face of the franchise. He's the guy that when you look at this squad and you talk about the things that are going on, I know his is only one at-bat and it's different than football, but he's the guy that people look at when they look at this team and want them to rally. Mm-hmm. He's gotten a little bit of a pass in all this, in my opinion. And like I said, again, I know it's different because it's baseball. But it's interesting to me that people automatically, when things like this happen, they want to point to Topper. They want to point to Topper's lack of showing emotion and things like that when things are bad. But when you have a guy, in my opinion, that's on this squad and makes as many air quote decisions right. as Bryce makes, how does he not? How does he get a pass when things like this happen? Especially when you've made it clear that you ran this back and you didn't change anything, and he's a part of that. He has to be the one in the locker room that rallies those troops. And then I think Topper follows his steps when he does stuff like that. But Bryce has to be the catalyst in this situation.
Well, I think it's interesting that when we look at leaders of other teams, right? Like we talk about Jalen. We talk about used to be Joel. I know that situation's pretty broken now. But those guys, right? We so often put the performance of their teams on them to the point where Jalen is Super Bowl MVP and he's still getting criticized, right? But with Bryce, it doesn't feel like that's always the case.
It's not.
And two nights ago, this wasn't last night, but two nights ago, Stott hits the home run to pull him within one run. And then Bryce gets up there and strikes out on, I think it was like three pitches, right?
Hero ball.
But that's why my frustration is with the players. It's not with Topper. It's not with Dombrowski. It's with the players. Because this reminds me of, remember the Eagles collapse in 2023 when we all talked about how the coaching staff was the problem. It wasn't the players. It was the coaching staff. It's not like the Phillies players are being told the wrong thing. Like, they know not to swing at pitches out of the zone. They know it's been an emphasis. And we saw in spring training, they did put an emphasis on that. But when push comes to shove, when the lights are on, it's the bottom or top of the ninth in New York, Bryce is just swinging up there willy-nilly. He's just swinging at whatever. So that's why when I look at how can this turn around, for me, it is on the players. Like, yes, do they need to go make a move? Of course. I think they need bullpen help. But they have the talent there to get the job done. And I'm so sick of online seeing like, oh, it's Topper. Like, yes, Topper could do a better job. I think at times this year he's been a bit panicky with some of the moves he's made. They've made a lot of like lineup changes. But the players are still good enough to get this job done. And right now, they're not performing at the level they are being paid to perform at.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Because last night, like I said, when you mentioned the way you mentioned it, that was something that stuck out to me. Because I didn't think about that. Because watching the game and not seeing Sanchez out there, there was still a chance.
Yeah.
There was still a chance. Ross gave you a chance, and the bats were quiet. That, to me, is on the players. It's only so much yelling and screaming that a manager could do. And I know a lot of people love to see that when they watch baseball, to see the manager getting all up in people's face and being all animated. But at the end of the day, players got to play, man.
Well, and also with this team, I mean, you played on a team with leaders. Like you guys said, and you were one of them. Like there were leaders on that team. Who's the leader on this Phillies team? Bryce doesn't strike me as a leader. He strikes me as a comes in, does it the right way, and hopes people follow. Schwarber, I think maybe leadership, but Castellanos to me doesn't seem like a leader. Trey Turner, definitely not a leader. And then you get to the, you know, Bohm, Stotts, those guys. They need somebody in that locker room of importance.
Major league buddies. They don't need to be major league buddies.
Well, it speaks to what I think the issue has been with this team in big moments is like they don't have any accountability amongst themselves. Like when Bryce swings at those pitches two nights ago, who's getting in his face about that? Think about the Eagles this year when things got bad, when they were 2-2, but even later in the year, when the passing game wasn't good enough, AJ went to the press and said, the passing game is not good enough.
That was more out of frustration.
It was, but at least he showed frustration and addressed the problem, and then the passing game was better the next week. When's the last time, and maybe I missed it, but someone on the Phillies, a player, called out somebody else? Or there was shots in the media, and look, I'm not like advocating for it, but it would be nice to see Bryce or somebody say something like, yeah, they can't swing at those pitches. Or we talked about it, we're just not doing it.
Bryce did do the name on the front, not the name on the back thing.
He runs around the bases and holds up three.
No, right. And didn't somebody throw shade at Taiwan when they were talking about,
throwing shade at Taiwan is like, you know.
I mean, I'm trying to, it's the equivalent of.
It's like blaming Jahan Dotson.
No, but I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of calling people out. I don't think. When I think of baseball, I don't think that they're in your face type guys like that. I don't think they do that.
But doesn't it feel like that's what they need right now? This team seems lackadaisical. They seem somewhat disinterested, and they just seem like it's crashing around them. And I don't sense any fight or fire from them.
See, this is where I can't. It's out of my depth because in an NFL locker room, for example, if you call your teammate out, they might get upset, and you guys might, you know, have a little moment where y'all, you know, have a little tete-a-tete. But at the end of the day, you let it go because you know you have to depend on that person
right
to help you win the game. If it's an offensive, defense player, you're going to need that guy. I think in baseball, to an extent, it's a little bit more individualized where guys like, I don't really care, something like that. Because, you know, when you're up there at bat, it's on you. And when you're in outfield, it's kind of on you, too, even though you're working in concert with everybody else.
But
it's still kind of on
you.
I've
also heard, and Jack in the afternoon show says this, like the idea of passing the baton. Like this team needs to work right now where they're
you're
not playing.
You're talking about at the plate.
At the plate, exactly. Yeah. Like where they're not going up there and just swinging for themselves. And so I agree with you that baseball is more of an individualized sport in the way that it's different, right? Like with football in the passing game, all 11 players have to be on the same page for that play to work for the most part. And I know that's not the case with baseball. But when your whole thing is going to be passing the baton and like getting the next guy to the plate, and then in the biggest moments you don't do those things, it just feels like a lack of leadership and accountability to me.
Like Kyle could say, like when Bryce was up there playing hero ball, Kyle said, "Hey man, I'm behind you to protect."
Exactly.
You.
The reason they moved Schwarber
is to protect you.
Exactly. So that's definitely my main frustration. But I definitely want to hear from everybody. 215-592-9494. Before we get into that though, this quote also bothered me just a little bit, and it is Dombrowski talking about the bullpen. And I'll play it and see what you guys think. So here's Dombrowski on the bullpen.
They just have to pitch better. I mean, we're in a spot from the right-hand side. Jordan Romano, who we like a lot when we signed him, thank goodness he's healthy. His velocity is good, but he's going to have to start pitching better, and Ross is going to have to pitch a little bit better, and Ruiz is going to have to pitch a little bit better. Hernandez is a little bit different spot. He was kind of added as the extra guy, but he needs to pitch a little bit better, too. So they just really have to go out there and pitch more consistently to get outs. I mean, they haven't missed a lot of bats out there so far. That's not always a necessity, but overall as a group, those guys just haven't really performed like we need them to do so, and they have to go out there. If we're going to be better, one or two of them are going to have to step up and be better on a consistent basis because you need more people to pitch at the back end of the game.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know what I heard, Elliot, and I'm curious because I saw Kyle over there making faces. Can't wait to hear.
I know
what Kyle's
like sitting in the bullpen.
Kyle,
I think, yeah.
Kyle's waiting for his moment, but you know what I like? He's not lying. He's not lying. But here's the thing, and this is where context matters. We've heard that for the last couple seasons, and as fans of this baseball team, it was okay when you were progressing.
Yeah.
When it felt like you were progressing. But now it feels like you're regressing, and you keep saying the same things over. It's almost like being in a relationship, right? And your significant other is mad at you because she says you stay out too late. And you tell her every night, hey, I'm going to be home earlier.
Yeah.
And initially you start coming home earlier, but by the end of the week, you're back to your old habits.
Yeah, it was performative at the beginning.
Yeah, and now you're saying the same things. They don't carry the same weight anymore because the words that you're saying, although they might be true, you don't see any progress when it comes to that bullpen.
Well, and also, like Dombrowski, man, why are you ripping your own players? Like, let's
the ones you picked.
Right, and also, so this year, Jalen was turning the ball over left and right to start the year. Nick Sirianni got up there and took blame for those interceptions. The 2 years ago, or last year against Seattle, when he threw that interception, Nick got up there and lied about it. So this to me, again, like Dombrowski, I like that he's calling out people to an extent, but he shouldn't be the one doing it. There needs to be better leadership on this team. Kyle, I feel like I've waited too long to get to you. Where are you at with this team?
Well, I just feel like we can yell about these players not performing until we're blue in the face. And we will. I'm frustrated with the players too. But maybe the mistake, guys, was trusting that this was the group that was going to be able to just, you know, do this. I mean, it's the same group from last year. And to double down on them going into this year, I think, is the biggest mistake. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We've been fooled like three times in a row watching this team do the same thing, end the season the same exact way. So, like, anyone with a brain went into this offseason knowing that this team needed a change. Like, I get that Bryce and Trey aren't being the guys that we paid them to be, at least this season. Bryce has been in the past. Trey isn't. The other guys at the bottom of the order, like, the outfield still stinks. Castellanos is just as streaky as ever. And Alec Bohm, all those guys. Like, the bullpen, they let Jeff Hoffman go this offseason, who's pitching like a 1.13 ERA with the Blue Jays.
And has some swagger.
I love his swagger. And they brought in a guy with negative swagger in Jordan Romano for just like a few bucks cheaper than Jeff Hoffman. So, like, it just felt like there was an obvious hole on this team going into the season, and they failed to address it. Like, I equate it to this. If the Eagles had a god-awful secondary, and they trotted James Bradberry out there with no fix the very next season, are we just going to keep screaming about James Bradberry? Yes. But at the same time, whose fault is it for not doing anything about that area, that hole? Like, that's on Howie Roseman if that happens. Yeah. So, like, I understand this whole thing with the players, but, like, this was so obvious to everybody that this team needed a shake up, and Dave Dombrowski didn't do it. So my biggest frustration right now is very clearly with upper management.
215-592-9494. Frustrating day for the Phillies. Who are you most frustrated with as this season that started off good is in a bit of a rut here? Let's go to the phones, and let's talk to one of my favorite callers you guys get all the time. Let's go to Chris in Middleton. Chris, what up? How you doing?
Middleton.
I have Middleton on the brain.
Lock in, ESP.
I'm trying. My first time with the wheels, you know.
Happy home day.
What's going on, man?
What up? So, who are you frustrated with, man?
It's a lot going on today, man. It's a Wednesday. Yeah. We're a little punch drunk from what we saw last night. Yeah, we gonna do. It's gonna take us a
roaring start here. I blame the circus. Ringmaster Hugh Dombrowski.
What I do? Wait a minute. Why I get pulled into this?
Company man Hugh Douglas.
I'm never gonna live that.
Yesterday he stole your notes, and that's what we're hearing. We're hearing flip flopping. We're hearing company man speak. All of the above coming out of Dombrowski. Guys, he built this team and assembled these players. And you know what? Sorry, guys. Bryce is also responsible. You hit the nail on the head with this. You were right. He pushed for certain contracts. He was the one that said, re-sign Rurumoto. And now we're on the tail end of this contract and watching the pain at the plate. He pushed for Turner. This are the guys he wanted. This guy, you guys just said this, came out and had the gall to say, we play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. And then days later comes out with a blue bat, and it's all about him and his announcement of who his child's going to be, and strikes out. And you know what? You want to talk about a company man and not a name on the back guy? Mookie Betts won 6 gold gloves as an outfielder, and he's playing shortstop. You don't hear Mookie complaining. You don't hear Mookie whining and saying anything. That's what a real team leader looks like. Bryce, I love you, and I carried your flag and your torch for a long time. You know what, buddy? Lock in, because it's about over. Your legacy is going to look more about you being selfish and you dictating. You coming out saying, oh, I'll go out to the outfield, but it's got to be a first baseman I approve of. It's got to be somebody I want. And you know what? At the end of the day, here's where this comes down to, guys. All of this stuff went on and was unchecked, because at the end of the day, I blame the guy that ESP had the Freudian slip with. Mr. Middleton, I see you. You paid Bryce. You emboldened him to let him do whatever he wants. You hired Ringmaster Dombrowski. You hired Topper. I blame you. The buck stops with you.
Well, Chris, no, Great point. And look, thanks so much for the call, man. We're up against it. I got you late. That's my bad. But thank you for calling in, man. I would say, too, what he just said there. Like, 2 years ago, no one ripped this Phillies team. I thought they were, like, above criticism. Now, Bryce is starting to get it. You hear Middleton there, Mr. I want my trophy back. People are turning on him.
Yeah, because he didn't do anything this offseason.
So I do think the tide is turning, and I'll be really curious to see how resilient they can be against that. So we'll take more calls on this on the other side. 215-592-9494. Get in. It's a WIP day to vent about the Phillies. But also, Jason Kelce on the morning show, he talked about the Phillies from his perspective And I thought he made a really interesting comparison to last year's Eagles. So we'll get into that on the other side. This is the WIP Midday Show.
Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost three decades. With four stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as one, two, three. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Titanic music always gets me, man.
Yeah, I feel like Kyle pulls the Titanic music out. You know things are maybe a little worrisome. This was my movie back in the day, though.
This is the Titanic, right?
Yeah, Titanic. Yeah, come on.
Rose was a cold female, though.
But you would
She could have gave room on that damn
she
piece of wood.
Yeah, I agree. This though, back in the day, fun story about me. When this came out, I was, I don't know, 13, 12, maybe something like that. Maybe a little. No, I was a little younger. I went around the neighborhood, swept porches, saved money to buy up the movie. I had to have it.
Oh, you know what? That's pretty cool, though.
Right?
Because you
like
you
a quarter at a time. Yeah, yeah. A quarter at a time to go get Titanic.
Came out in 97.
So I was 9. So I was a little younger.
I was 2.
You were 2? Did you see Titanic? Have you seen Titanic?
Of course.
Yeah. I was about to say. I mean,
who hasn't seen the Titanic?
Well, the other funny thing is when I saw it in the theater, I'm walking in, and someone straight up ruined the ending. They're like, yeah, they die.
Damn.
I hope that's not a spoiler right there.
Hold on. But Rose didn't die.
Hold on. The ending for you was ruined by someone saying that.
Well, I knew the boat. But I'm saying that Jack died.
I'm thinking like everybody knows that the ship sinks.
He could have lived, though.
And many die.
She just moved her ass over. Scoot your ass over, Rose.
I do think, though, it is harder to jump up on that thing than maybe people are giving credit for.
It probably is.
Yeah.
But still, I'd have been trying. I'd have gave it an old college try.
Like, I think you would have, yeah.
You don't scoot your ass over and let me on this piece of wood before I can try to survive?
At least give her a shot.
Just give me a chance.
So speaking of sinking ships, we are talking about the Phillies today.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What is it? Wait a minute. April? Still April, right? May?
Yeah.
It's April.
No, it's April. Yeah,
it's April because Cinco de Mayo, BG Day around
BG
the corner.
BG Day. That's exactly
BG
right.
BG Day around the corner.
You know that Hugh thought that Cinco de Mayo was on the 4th?
You ain't got to tell. Why are you telling my business?
You're not a big Cinco de Mayo guy?
No, he thought it was on the 4th. He messed the date up.
Let me tell you what
it's
happened.
It's the Cinco de Mayo.
Let me tell you what happened. In my mind, I was like, I was thinking, damn, it's on the 4th. Like, I'm thinking the 4th is Sunday. And I'm like, that's the day you want to drink because you don't, you know what I mean? You got a day to drink. I'm like, damn, it's on a Monday. We got to go to work Monday. So I was, in my mind, I was saying what I was thinking they should have it on a Monday, Sunday, so or Saturday, but I screwed it up.
I think you're actually ahead of your time here. Like, should they always do Cinco de Mayo on a weekend day so people can enjoy it? Like, move it around like other holidays.
Yeah, because I want to move it around, man. I want to move it around, man, but no, they didn't do that.
All right.
That defeats the purpose of the name, though.
Yeah, the name's not as catchy.
But I would venture to think that there'll be people celebrating Cinco de Mayo on what? What's the day? The 3rd?
So Cinco de Mayo this year is on
Cinco
a Monday, right?
Yeah, but they're going to probably sell it. They're going to do Cinco de Trey.
Yeah.
Because it's,
Cinco de
it's
Deuce,
the weekend.
Do
Cinco
the Friday?
De Deuce, yeah, it's going to probably be that.
All right. I don't know how to transition to the Phillies from
just
that one.
Just do it.
Yeah, just keep going. Just keep going. Cinco de Hue right there. This hour, by the way, on 94WIP is fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car only at Sunoco. We are talking.
We ain't giving away nothing for the Sunoco. We ain't giving no gas away today.
Well, we are. We just, we don't have too much time to do Hughes Quiz.
Yeah.
We're going to give it away another way.
Okay.
But don't worry. Don't worry. You get a break today from your awful clues.
I feel like your clues have been a little off recently.
Well, seriously?
Well, honestly, what I think it is, in all seriousness, knowing Hugh in the time I have, I just feel like you think on a different level than other people.
Sometimes I do.
Like, your clues are very much in your own head.
Yeah.
And they do make sense in your head once you explain them.
Yeah.
But
yeah. The trick is to know Hugh's line of thinking.
Which is tough to do,
though. The people who make the best guesses usually can
kind of pick up on that.
Yeah.
You got to make your clues for the people.
I thought I did. I thought I was making it.
We've been trying to tell you for a while.
The people seem to disagree. But speaking of the people, who are you most frustrated with the Phillies right now? Just disappointing loss last night, 2-8 in their last 10 games against the Mets. Let's go to Tyler in Delaware. Tyler, how you doing, man?
Yo, ESP, you.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas?
What up, Tyler?
Hey, first of all, Elliot, it's great to hear you on with Hugh. If you
Thank
go
you.
Back to the Eagles Town Hall, I was the one who grabbed you your utensils.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You always do a great job, so I'm happy to hear you talking some baseball.
Thank you. I'm sure everybody else is as well.
Yes. I told Kyle that the past couple days I've just been kind of stewing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of reached a point where I know we're only 24 games into the season. Yes, it is still April. But this Phillies team, they don't have the leaders that have the backbone to have the kinds of hard conversations that we're having, what it takes to win.
Mm.
My issue with this Phillies team is that you are playing the New York Mets. You are playing the team that, if you go back in time, was your most hated rival. I can't stand the Mets, their mascot, their fan base, their apple, they're arrogant, they're loud, they're obnoxious. And the fact that you can't get up for a series, they don't come to Citizens Bank Park until June. So these division games, regardless if they're played in June, September, April, they matter. And what I want to personally say, what Chris started off with to continue, Bryce Harper, it seems to me that after you wanted your own contract extension, you haven't won a championship yet. You've gotten to the World Series. Then you got to the NLCS. Then you got to the DS. That's the wrong trajectory.
Yeah.
For your Philadelphia tenure here. And you've gotten more cowardly, less vocal, as somebody who wants to lead men. You didn't take a single ball 2 games ago, to your point, Hugh. You didn't make Diaz work when you had them on the ropes. And you have Kyle Schwarber behind you, who you just moved to protect you. And what gets me so frustrated, you talk about what Bryson Stott is doing. That's what you paid Trey Turner to do. At least Bryson Stott, to his credit, is taking pitches. He's working counts. He's getting on base. He's actually stealing bases, unlike Trey Turner. And that's literally, well, other than Schwarber's bombs, you don't see the type of fervor that this stuff matters, Elliot.
Well, and Tyler, too, I think your point about Schwarber going behind Bryce, right? So if you're Schwarber, you're in a contract year. You've hit leadoff for this team for years. They've won their biggest games with you at leadoff. You're basically moving off of leadoff and behind Bryce to protect Bryce. So you are, in some ways, making a selfless decision, or at least willing to do it, to move behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my experience of covering teams that start to struggle, Hugh, your teams in Philly almost always won, at least, you know, from 2000 on. But, like, people do start to point fingers. And with Bryce, right, like, he won't go to right field. He's very particular about where he bats in the lineup. Schwarber, meanwhile, is moving around the lineup for Bryce. I just wonder internally, and Tyler, thanks so much for the call, man. I appreciate it. But I just wonder internally how long until you start to see some infighting, because they've always come across as a team that are very close. And, like, you know, we see the celebration videos and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to start to get ugly.
And at what point do you, that's what you're asking. At what point?
Yeah.
I don't think they're there yet, because let's be honest, people. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but it's still early. It's the truth. And why Kyle's giving me mean and dirty looks.
I didn't realize all the looks Kyle threw.
Because Kyle's a diehard baseball fan, and I try to bring some logic to this situation.
Well, here's, company man.
That's what they want to call it, but it's called logic. Here's the truth. Is that I feel like most baseball players are wired. It's like, well, we got 130-some games left.
Yeah, only three games to make up, too.
Yeah, and it's like, you look at the standings and you look at where you are, you're still in a pretty good spot. I haven't looked at the standings, but you're still in a pretty good spot. And you still have time to make up ground. This is only one series. You get to see the Mets again. So they're probably looking at it like that. So there's no need to push the panic button. But there is some cause for some concern, because, like you said, you've had moments where you've stranded people on base. You're hacking at the ball, and you have protection behind you. You're trying to play hero ball the other night. So there is that. But I don't think it's to the point where the baseball, they're not panicking yet, because it's not time to panic. As us as fans, we live and die with every pitch every day.
So I agree it's not time to panic, but I do think it is time to see some emotion from this team. So Jason Kelce was on with the WIP morning show this morning and talked about just like, when are we going to see something from this team? I thought it was really interesting. So here's what Jason Kelce had to say about that.
They need somebody, and I personally think it needs to be a player. You can do this at the manager position as well, but there's got to be somebody that's bucking the trend and making people uncomfortable. And that's one of the beautiful things of playing in this city, is that you can't be comfortable. Like, the fans and nature of the sports media is so engulfing that when you are struggling, you're going to know it. But it feels like, I kind of agree with what Joe's saying. I want to see somebody with some freaking fire, like, throw a bat. I don't know what it is.
Need some seasoning.
Well, and to me, too, so I forget what game it was, but there was a moment where Topper should have came out and
I know what you're talking about, when right? JT was at the plate.
JT had
was
a bad
strike three call.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a terrible call, yeah.
As much as people want to say Sirianni's emotion can be a bad thing, Sirianni, in that instance, would have probably gotten thrown out of the game or, like, been out on the field. And so when Kelce says, and I agree with Kelce, he needs to see emotion from the team, I think it's tough to show that emotion when your manager shows no emotion at all. Like, when you watch these games, he barely speaks. Every time I see him, he's just sitting there watching the game. So I think that's part of it, too, where we want to see emotion, but that would be, for me, the reason to fire Topper. Is I think maybe they need a new leader.
Shake
emotionally.
It up a little bit.
Yeah, or someone that's gonna show some fight. Because, look, we played the Dombrowski clip about the bullpen, which I found off-putting. Like, don't give an honest scouting report of your players through the media. But if a player does it, I think it matters more. And Kelce had something else to say and reminded me of a moment in this Eagles season that ended up being really important and kind of similar to where the Eagles are now. But talking about Brandon Graham, and when he talked about Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. So here's Kelce on that.
What Brandon Graham did on this show might have been one of the things that kind of, like, galvanized that team. And I've said this a little bit inside the building. Like, regardless of what degree of it was kind of misinterpreted or missaid by Brandon, it forced those guys to communicate, talk, and come closer. And I think throughout my time, coaches and organizations really struggle with people that say things in the media, and I did as a young player. that it's like the wrong thing. It's an inconvenience for them to have to deal with this dumb thing that somebody said.
Yep.
Or controversial thing that somebody said. And the reality is, most of the time, there's some degree of that that is going to come out, that is going to make people have to face what's being said, right? So you have to come to grips with it. And that can either lead to positivity or it can go the other way. And I think the Eagles handled it really well. They became closer and tighter, and it almost galvanized that team around both of those guys.
Did you like when players handled things through
come
the media?
Come to Jesus.
Did you like that?
I didn't, but sometimes you have to have come to Jesus moments, because it's one of those things where you have to address it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to address it head on. And that's kind of the world that I came from. Anytime that I had a problem with anybody, I didn't go to management. I didn't go to HR. I came straight to that person. Like, hey, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
A lot of times, baseball to me feels more corporate than football. And what I mean by that is this. It feels like, especially with this team, that there are certain channels that you have to go through before you can have a moment like that. Mm-hmm. Because that, to your point, they are a little buttoned up. I know a lot of people, I keep saying they need seasoning. They probably do. They need somebody in that locker room that has a little bit more attitude. Bryce is cool, but you need somebody that's a little bit more forthcoming with you know, some things that need to be said. Like, Taiwan is that guy, but it was in the wrong way when he was upset about, you know, being benched in the playoffs and stuff. It's you see what I'm saying, Kyle? It's in the wrong way because it was more of a negative.
Yeah, well, they needed Hugh Douglas to come in and fight the star receiver in the locker room.
See, why we got to go back to stuff
I was
in the past.
Thinking it, but I like how Kyle always says it.
But but you need somebody, and I'm not talking about me, but every now and then you need somebody to make people uncomfortable.
So, and to me, that seems from the outside looking in like a Castellanos role, right? Like, I think he has personality. He can be quiet at the same time, though. Like, when he speaks to the media, it never feels like he's, you know, like it's soft-spoken.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Because, I don't think that they feel that they're it's dire straits like that.
Well, but
I don't think they feel that way.
So, going into the season, so much they talked about how we know this could be our last shot together,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, Real Muto's a free agent. Schwarber's a free agent. Who knows what happens with Castellanos after this year. But I think the motivating part of that can be, let's do it together. The negative part of that could be, if it starts to fall apart, you look around and you go, like, this could really crater quickly. If Schwarber's thinking, I'm not going to be back. If JT's thinking, I'm not going to be back. If Bryce is looking around and thinking, the team I signed up to win with is falling apart. Like, that pressure of doing it together can be a positive, but it seems like it's a negative for them.
But see, here's the problem. Because I feel like most of the guys that you feel that had that kind of cachet and can say that, they ain't going nowhere. Bryce Harper is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Turner's going to be here, regardless if you like it or not. He's going to be here. The only guy that you say that, they're going to re-sign Schwarber. So he's going to be here.
I don't know if they're going to re-sign Schwarber.
I think
he
will.
Deserves it, but I wonder if they'll do a bit of a culture change there and trying to move on from Schwarber.
I don't think that would be a smart idea. With that player.
Yeah, I don't know if a culture change begins with one of your best culture guys.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. It has to be Bryce. And I know people are talking about, how is Bryce going to be that guy when he's not hitting well? Bryce is the face of this franchise.
Yes.
And the first thing that Bryce has to say, in my opinion, is, hey, it starts with me, but we have to do this together.
Or throw a bat, like Kelsey said. Like, do something.
Need
to show
some seasoning, man. They need to... It's really sticking. Like, when I think about that game last night, it's really sticking out to me. They need more life.
Yeah.
They need more life. Because I guarantee you this, the fan base felt more, they were more stoked about this Mets series. Well, let me clean it up a little
bit. Took it more seriously than the players did?
I didn't want to say that because that's not fair. But that's not fair to them because I don't know if they took it serious. But it feels like the fans were more hyped for it.
Yeah.
Than the players were.
Well, I think it's because the fans want to see something from this team. And then you add in the fact that it's the Mets, and it goes up there. But speaking of seasoning, we got some Cinnaminson coming up. You like that? Ken from Cinnaminson. What up, buddy? How you doing?
That was bad.
You like that? That was good.
He tried it, though.
I cooked it, though. I feel like I cooked that.
I like that.
Thank you.
It's actually an Indian word for sweet water. So
okay.
That's where. So first of all, Alec Bohm throws bats all the time, so I don't know what we're missing here.
That is a good point. Bohm shows emotion and people don't like it. I think it's
more like a petulant child type emotion.
It's not negative emotion.
Yeah.
And before I get to the Phillies, Elliot, I just have a name for you. Round two, third round, if he's still there. Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green.
Yep, the tight end. Yeah. Had like 200 catches the past 2 years.
Okay, Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And he can block, and his quarterback coach is now his coach is now quarterback coach for the Eagles, and and he's awesome with the football in his hands after he catches it. So
it is crazy. The draft's tomorrow.
Yeah,
Phillies really stole this attention from that.
Yeah, that's a long day.
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah,
I'll be there thanks to Hugh and Joe.
Nice.
Hugh's awesome clues on.
I give awesome clues.
Yeah, they work for Ken.
Saying that because he won recently.
He does. Listen, Chris from Middletown, once again, circles around the truth like a turd around the toilet bowl drain. Being completely wrong, but still somehow arriving at the right point, Dave Dombrowski did not assemble this team, and that's the problem. Dave Dombrowski has done nothing to make this team better in the 3 years he's been here. His trade deadline deals are always terrible. When they signed Max Kepler in the offseason, it felt to me like it was the 2025 version of Whit Merrifield. And of course, we all have red pinstripe colored glasses on during spring training. So when you bring that up, like, hey, we felt the same way about Whit Merrifield last year, you know, a lot of people are, well, he's not going to be Whit Merrifield. Well, it looks an awful lot like the Whit Merrifield. You know, this let's find something that used to be really, really nice and let's bring it home and polish it up. And maybe we can make it really, really nice again, if only for a short period of time. This team is fatally flawed. I've been saying it for a long time. And there's a reason why. You go back to October, all of these Phillies-Mets games basically look the same, where, you know, it's nip and tuck for most of the game. The Mets might scratch out, you know, a run or two to take a lead. And then it's just, you know, making the Phillies try and be patient enough to lay off spin because they can't hit the spin. And they're not patient enough to lay off the spin. And the Mets know that if we drag this out long enough, they're going to beat themselves. And Trey Turner even said it during the postseason last year, getting themselves out. That's what they do. And, you know, I'm reminded because we were talking about, you know, this whole new approach thing during spring training, which, again, was a crock. And I'm reminded of different sport, but it's appropriate in this analogy. When Andre Dillard had the on-field meltdown in the first half of a game where the Eagles tried to get him to play right tackle until he basically imploded in front of everybody's eyes. And his response to that was to describe it as trying to teach somebody who's been left-handed their entire life to write right-handed. Trying to change the approach of these guys is like that. It's like trying to teach them to do something that they cannot naturally do. So I can't even really blame the players because the players are who they are. This team has been constructed in a fatally flawed fashion. I hear there's a lot of talk about small ball during the spring. This organization doesn't want to play small ball. This team is not constructed to play small ball. If you think Kyle Schwarber is going to go out there and lay down bunts to move runners from second to third with less than two outs, then you just haven't been paying attention to baseball for the last.
No, it's a great point, Ken, and thank you so much for the comment. Excited you'll be at the draft event. We'll see you there tomorrow night. But, you know, the analogy you use there about Dillard, I think another one is, like, Michael Vick. When Michael Vick was here, it used to always be, or Carson, actually, I'll slide. Like, I know I need to slide. I know I need to slide. But when you're out there running, it's just hard if who you are is to fight for those extra yardage and to not go down.
Yeah, and it's ingrained in you. It's in your DNA not to do what you need to probably be doing.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing I would compare it to is, so this past year, we all know Jalen Hurts set the record in training camp for the most consecutive passes without interception.
Yeah, because you told us. Congratulations.
Yeah, we all remember that, right? Dope, right? Yeah. And then the first few games of the year, when the bullets were flying, he wasn't as good with it.
Yes.
It took him some time, but he adjusted. He adjusted to it. If you look at the Phillies, in spring training, they were walking all the time, and they're still doing a decent job of it. But push come to shove, when it's the top of the ninth.
You revert to what you know.
You revert to what you know in the big moments. So I think where Ken is correct there is they are who they are. And that can be good enough if they get hot. We've seen them almost win a World Series that way. But what we've seen over a larger sample sizes, they do not have it in them to play small ball or to be disciplined at the plate the way they need to.
For the long term.
And in the big moments, you revert to who you are, and that's where the problems come up. So we're going to keep getting into this. Who are you most frustrated with? Lot to pick from right now out of Dombrowski, Topper. Not a lot of Topper today. I'm kind of surprised with that in the players. But also quickly, let's not forget, speaking of great players who came up in big moments, Brandon Graham. We'll be honoring Brandon Graham's legacy career all day on air, and the celebration continues that evening. We're doing it on 5-5. So
5-5.
There you go. The celebration continues that evening with BG Live at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. This special live event will feature Brandon on stage with Joe DeCamera as BG shares unforgettable stories and never-before-heard behind-the-scenes moments from his incredible career. Tickets, not many available left. So if you want to get them now. Get them at 94WIP. On the other side, we'll keep talking Phillies. Who are you most frustrated with? This is the 94WIP Midday Show.
Let's talk about bacon, but we ain't talking about any bacon. Let's talk about Hatfield bacon. From classic hardwood smoked to sweet maple brown sugar, even extra thick cut bacon and applewood smoked bacon. Every slice is packed with flavor. Top your burger with it. Level up your breakfast or snack straight from the pan. No judgment on me because, you know, that's how I do it anyway. Treat yourself, grab some Hatfield bacon today and taste the difference. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you and put some Hatfield pork on your fork.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.